You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Out of Focus. Out of focus. What is focus in the first place? At least the definition we're going to look at today is this: a point upon which attention or activity, etc., is directed or concentrated. Took the girls recently, the family ended up at the beach, got a camera, we went out to take pictures outside, and it was so hot and humid outside, the camera had been inside, and when we got outside, because you know you have to wear matching stupid clothes and stand on the sand dunes, you know, that whole deal. I hate all that, but you know, what are you gonna do? So you have to go take these family pictures, and we got outside, and you aim the camera and go to hit the button where the autofocus, and then it starts freaking out, back and forth. Nothing, because the lens has fogged up. And now I could still take a picture and put it on autofocus, but because of what was in the lens, I could not get a clear shot. It was out of focus. I could not take the picture. You've got to get the thing dried out, cleaned out, and take the picture. If your life is out of focus, you're going to end up somewhere, but it's going to be nowhere. If you don't have some direction, some purpose, some activity, and you say, well, but I feel like I'm floundering, I'm wondering, then you need some leadership. You will never be able to lead someone else until you can lead yourself. And you will never be able to lead yourself until you have someone else to follow. And that person that you need to be following is a guy named Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Then try doing life by yourself and see how that works out for you. Because you end up nowhere, and the world has lost its mind and all this politically correct crap saying, well, we don't want to offend anyone. Let me tell you something. Listen close. For something to be true, everything cannot be true. And I don't use this word lightly, but if you believe that everything is true, you are a lunatic. You are irrational. You are not a thinking person. For something to be true, something has to be false. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then you don't have a brain. You say, well, but I want to be politically correct. You don't have to be stupid to be pleasant. Think. Something can be true, but if you pick something that is true, everything else cannot be true. It's not possible. Okay? Does everybody agree on that? You don't have to agree. I turn to Genesis chapter 1. Now, why is it that I read so much out of this book? And some of you say, I don't even believe it. I think it's full of errors. I don't trust it. I don't have anything to do with it. Let me tell you something. Somebody's called this, you've heard this before, the Bible, okay? What does that stand for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Now listen to me. If you are going to figure your life out, you are going to involve this piece of literature or it ain't gonna happen. These are the instructions, and from the very beginning, the instructions come. Let's just jump in here at creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and following. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. First thing he does is he blesses them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then jump down to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, these are the instructions. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Those are the instructions. That is the plan. Listen, Pay attention, because there are dire consequences if you don't. And in this case, the consequence was death, not just to these two people eventually, but it rained down on all of us. I live under the consequence physically of these two people who would not follow instructions. You say, well, that's terrible. It shouldn't be that way. But your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids, your entire family line potentially is living under the crap of your decisions. And if you get it wrong, you pass that to the next generation. I could point out here right now, there are men in this room today who have made a decision to stop the madness and to get focused and to make some decisions about their own life and following Christ and finding out what God says about some things and doing what he says, then looking at their grown kids, their little kids, their wife, whoever it may be, and saying, you know what? I may have screwed this all up to now, but this ship is turning. Not on my watch anymore. And I may still screw up and I still have challenges, but by God, I am going to try to lead like I never led before. And that creates problems. It creates ripples because people don't like change, but ultimately it is better. And entire families and generations of people can be changed. What you do or do not do with your life makes a huge difference. Huge difference. You don't know what kids you're raising, who you marry, can be a nightmare or a massive blessing. But if you are a piece of work, there's a good chance you're going to marry another piece of work. And then they're going to frame that piece of work and say, this is what a piece of work looks like. Genesis chapter 12. There's nothing in the Bible but this, really, guys. So I'm just pulling some and then going to get to some verses and try to nail this down and we can get out of here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed, and you they'll all be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. You don't go on trips at 75. You retire, you quit. But God said, go. He says, okay. The phrase here is, and Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. If God speaks to you and tells you something, for God's sake and everybody else's, do it. Because when you do not focus, when you do not lead, when you do not do the right thing, it affects potentially thousands of people. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Go back to the last time you heard God to do something and pick up there. You know why he probably hadn't told you anything new yet? Because you won't even do the first thing. You know why getting baptized is such a huge deal? Because that's the first thing he tells anybody to do after they become a Christian. And if you will not be willing to do A, then B, C, D, E, F, G, all down the line don't make any sense. You don't even hear that sometimes because you're locked up on one simple act. You say, but that's silly. The whole thing's silly. You're going to tell me you think you're going to heaven because some guy got strung up on a cross and was buried in his blood, sprinkled on your sins? You know, it's a bunch of, what is that? It's the craziest story you've ever told or heard, but it changes your life. So if he says, get dipped in some water somewhere, you go, okay, whatever, I'll do that. And then these extraordinary, simple, foolish, seemingly acts of obedience turn into monumental things in your life. You go, my gosh, why did I not do this long ago? You know, why get married anymore? What the, you know, who needs to get married? Stop getting married. You're complicating your taxes. You're complicating everything. Just live together. If it doesn't work out, move out. Makes a lot of sense. Everybody's doing that. What's the deal with standing up in some justice of the peace or some flower child person or whatever you pick? Some preacher stands up there and you say some words and now we're married. I hear this argument all the time. What is that about? We just love each other. We're going to be together. Then why is it such a big deal when people look at each other and exchange words and vows and say, I mean this. I make a decision here today. And then that moment becomes real and powerful and connecting because these things do matter. And you have to decide, you have to commit, or you are a flake forever. Joshua, go to Joshua 24. So I'm going from left to right, still trying to do that. And for some of this stuff, you go, oh, no, I know exactly what verse he's going to read. Some of you have never heard this stuff, so I'm going to read it. Joshua 24:14, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And he's saying, if you think it's not a good thing, then choose, make a decision. And by the way, to not make a decision is to make a decision. You say, well, I'm not committing. By not committing, you are committing to not committing. Whether the gods your father served were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but look what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a dad, a husband, a man saying, this is going to happen in my house. I don't know why it is that men are so terrified to lead. Women need to and want to be led. It is biblical, it is scriptural, it is human nature, and you say, I don't agree with that? Ask women. I'm not talking about the spoiled brats. Women are attracted to a man. I'm not talking about dictatorial, I run, I'm the king and all that mess. I'm talking about a servant leader who loves his wife the way Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. You show me a man who loves a woman like that, and I'll show you a woman who doesn't mind that. Men especially will not lead. Who else we got here? Matthew 26. You know, and then you meet these people say, oh, I want to be a great person one day. You're not going to be anybody great. What, are you kidding yourself? You're just going to wake up great one day? Nobody wakes up great. People make decisions. They make sacrifices. They commit to things. They work hard. They follow. They get in the game. They do different things. Great people, you know, say, well, they're famous. There's a big difference in being a great person and being famous. Any goofball could be famous. I mean, Lady Gaga is famous, my goodness, but what is that? You want to be great? Then make some decisions. And by the way, if you make a decision against God, I actually respect that if you'll do it 100%. Don't be messing around in the middle. If you're going to be an atheist, you better be a good atheist. You better be a really good atheist and think it all the way through and have some game when you open your mouth about being an atheist. Don't just say, I'm an atheist. What is that? You got anything to back that up? I respect when someone says something and they can back it up. And if you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. You're going to be a Christ follower, then follow. And if you're going to follow him, what did he say? If you're going to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's a cost. Matthew 26:39. He went a little farther. This is Jesus in the garden before he dies on the cross. Went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus himself, somehow in the Godhead, in the Trinity, and all this stuff, is under the Father's authority. He came down here and did whatever the Father said. So he is modeling, following, even as God in a man. So if you need any other example of this, keep going over to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, turn to the right. John 6, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign do you show us that we may see and believe? You know, what do you do? And I got a different translation going here. And he goes on, look down at verse 38. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Is it your desire to do the will of God? Is that your desire? Then is there any indication of that every day of your life? Do you do what you want to do or what he wants you to do? And when, by the way, when those two things do not match up, you cannot have peace. You say, I don't have peace in my life. When you violate the will of God in your gut as a Christian, God says we're going to do this. You say, no, we're not. We're going to do this. Then your peace goes out the window. And that's why so many people medicate themselves trying to restore some feeling of peace if they've ever had peace.
because I refuse to do what God wants me to do, so I'm gonna do what I wanna do, but in order to do that and function, I'm gonna shoot something up, snort something, drink something, buy something, go somewhere. I've got to fix this lack of peace, but I cannot get the real peace back unless I'm willing to submit to God's will. You will never have peace outside of God's will. Every once in a while, I think about doing something else. I got the same pressures you got. I got kids to educate. I got bills to pay and all this stuff. I think, God, there's no way I can do all this. I like advertising. I'm a creative person. I'll go do that. And then I run that trap. And you know what I realize? That's not what God made me to do. So I'm going to have to keep doing what he made me to do and trust that he will take care of me. You say, but if I give my life over to God, I won't have this big job, this big office, this big everything. You know what? You got one little old life to live. Why would you flush it down the toilet chasing nothing? Find out what God made you to do and chase that. Make a decision. Be focused. There are old people listening today who chased everything in the world and missed the only life they have. And they, if they were very honest, they would say, I threw it away. And I've got a portfolio, I've got the boat, I got the house, I got whatever it is I need, but I didn't chase the right thing. I climbed the ladder, but I got to the top and realized it was leaning against the wrong building. We go to Matthew 28. We're almost out of verses, so you're okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. This is after all the process before he ascends into heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I run the whole deal. As you're going, it says here, go therefore, but it really translates better. As you're going, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That is the plan. Our mission statement as a church is disciples making disciples. And if you want to know whether that's really the mission statement of the church, then follow me around. I am one of the leaders, and your leaders should be demonstrating the mission statement of the church. Our job is to do what he left us here to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not get to the end of your life and you cannot demonstrate that you as a follower of Christ generated other followers of Christ personally, I think something is missing. You say, well, I don't have time. Then you are too stinking busy. If you are not multiplying your life, it is the messiest thing, and it took God in a man 3 years. Then how long do you think it's going to take? Now, what happens? What I was trained to do is so-and-so walks into church. We go, oh, Jesus, you know, he died on the cross. Do you believe all that? Say a quick prayer. Say a prayer. Boom, we got another one in. Let's go catch another fish. Whoa, what about that one? And how long is it going to take for this person whose life has just been transformed eternally to be up and running and where they can have a baby, raise a kid, and do it all over and keep the cycle going? Let me tell you something. It ain't 6 weeks. It's not even a year. It is a long time. And so you have to settle in and realize and say to yourself, this is not some quick fix. You've been at it for a long time, possibly yourself, and do you have anything to show for it? Maybe not. Now, where's all this coming from? I have not been doing a very good job from this position communicating where we are going. We are disciples making disciples. If you want to come be entertained by some preacher, this is not where you need to be. If you like nice gospel music, this is not why we're here. We are here to make disciples. Okay? Now, I am going to say this as clear as I can. You say, well, I like the way you preach. Then I am the worst preacher on the planet because I am not leading if you are not responding to what I'm saying and doing what we're talking about doing. I am going to drop dead someday meeting with men because I can't find anything else in Scripture that beats that. And meeting with men in such a way that I take them through a process that they in turn can take someone else through and multiply so that when I am dead and gone, my stock is still cashing. And you say, well, that's not the way I think we should do it. Well, just bring me your verses. I'm available all week. Well, I just want to sprinkle something here and there on people and touch people as I go. You know what? Jesus did that. He gave himself to 12 men. Where are your men? And the problem with this is a lot of the businessmen listening today here and beyond can answer the question in business. You cannot answer it in your heart in terms of the kingdom of God. There are businessmen here who have multiplied yourselves over and over and over again, but you got nothing spiritually that demonstrates the same thing. It works in business. Why doesn't it work at church? It started in church. Plumbers do it. Electricians do it. You can't just say, I think I want to be a plumber. You got to go follow some guy around. I want to be an electrician. How many electricians we got in here? Bunch of electricians. You don't go, oh, well, I think that'd be cool. You'll get yourself killed. And that's why they put you next to someone as an apprentice. And they show you basic things. Now, I'm going to say this as gently and as loud and clear as I can. If you do not like the plan, you need to find some place where you can follow the leadership and do it. If this is not where you're supposed to be, I'm not trying to run you off, but we are going somewhere. Does everybody understand this? This is pointed in a direction. And I don't have the time and the energy to fight back on people say, well, but I have my own thing. You know what? I don't care about your thing. You don't run this place. I, under God with some other men, have been given the task to point it in a direction, and it is a massive responsibility. I will answer one day for this. So it is very serious. And if we are going to take the planet, which I actually believe is possible, you're gonna have to follow. Because when you learn to follow, then you learn to lead. And when you learn to lead, you teach someone else to follow. And this thing just dominoes all over the planet. I could care less if we got 10,000 people here. I'd rather have 300 who get it. I am not interested in entertaining you. Oh, he's such an interesting speaker. Forget all that. Go listen on the radio. You can listen to me all day long and do nothing with it. I don't know how that's possible, but it's possible. Do something for Christ's sake. Follow, lead. And if you're out of focus, the only way something's going to change is out of focus. It's when you say, I will choose to focus. I'm going to let God lead me. I'm going to get involved in a church, this one or somewhere. I'm going to find out where they're going. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to try to do something. It is very difficult. You couldn't pull these stunts in any corporation without getting fired or having to quit. I am trying something, and we are trying something. Because we don't have much time left. Jesus can come back any second. And this is way more urgent than I'm even making it. This little life you got is a big deal. And one day you will stand before God as I will. I will stand with a greater answer. I will have to give an account for all of this. So this is very important. This to me is like raising kids. It scares me to death. And without God, it cannot be done. But we are on your side. And we are trying to point in a direction, and I need you to get on board and stop complaining, and well, I got something else and this and that. Let's do something together, a common purpose. Follow. You say, well, I don't trust it. Then it's okay, go somewhere else. But if you're gonna be here, be here. Now, I'm a lunatic for saying these things out loud, because some of you go, well, I don't like the sound of that. Well, you're probably one of those spoiled brats that, you know, nobody ever spoke to like this. Nobody ever stepped up and said, hey, get a life.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Disciples making disciples requires a plan, requires clear communication of the plan, requires time, requires patience, requires perseverance, requires prayer, requires leaders, requires followers, requires a willingness to implement the plan, and it requires focus. Now, to be very, very, very clear, you say, I am not at the point where I am willing to spend 3 years with someone in this process. I can't do that right now. I'm okay with that. All I'm trying to tell you is if you stay here, that is where you're going to end up. I don't know how long that'll take to get you there, but our commitment is to have people available that when you say, I am ready, I am willing to engage with one other person, maybe two, in a process where I can learn, where I can grow, where I can find out what I need, but also find out how to do this with someone else so I don't just kind of float out here and exist. I want to figure it out, and I want someone else to be able to figure it out because I engaged in the process. I want to be a leader. I'm willing to be a follower. There's a lot of the stuff we offer, some things you can get involved with, small groups and all that, but I am spending my time more than ever with individual, maybe one, two at a time, and that's where I'm headed. Because that is where I think you change the world. That is what Jesus did. Figure out what your leader did and do that.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.